Good morning. Pleasure to be with you. Before we open God's word, let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and have this time together to open your word, just to sit at your feet. And I pray that as we do that today, that we will be encouraged, we will be strengthened to look to you. Look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Be here by your Spirit, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This year I've looked at the book of Mark for the basis of all my sermons. I've enjoyed it as I studied through Mark. But today I want to look at a message from one who only appears very briefly in the book of Mark. And he appears right at the very beginning. So if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And beginning with verse 1, we read these words. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The person is John the Baptist. All too often, and understandably so, when we go to the Gospels, we look at the story, the life of Jesus. After all, he is the one who came to save us from sin. It is Jesus who hung on the cross. It is Jesus through whom we have got salvation. But the message of John is still important today for our salvation. If we look at the other Gospels, we find that they also write the message of John in a similar way. Matthew chapter 3, come with me there. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, we read these, words. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Elias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Luke chapter 3, come with me there. Luke chapter 3. Luke 3, verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Elias, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. You know, when you look at the message of John, it is very simple. It's a very simple message. Repent. Repent. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make your paths straight. What was the response? What was the response of the people of his time? Mark chapter 1. Let's go back there. Mark chapter 1. Interesting the response of the people of his time when he preached this straight message. Mark chapter 1. Verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Interesting. People listened. People repented. People were baptized. People flocked to hear him. Why? Obviously, people saw that this great preacher out there in the wilderness had something to say that they needed to hear. The message that he preached was straight. There was no beating around the bush with John. It was probably what he needed to hear. It was a straight message. But what about us today? Does the message of John the Baptist still have relevance for us today? Is it a message that we still need to take heed of? Do we still need that message? John preached about repentance. Romans chapter 3. Come with me there. Romans chapter 3, we have a very straight statement. Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know that? We're all sinners. No one is exempt from that statement. All have sinned. And if we all sin, I guess it means that we're not quite there yet. We still need a Saviour. How often we like to kid ourselves, you know? We come to church, we look quite neat and respectable. Not like the person lying in the gutter. In the current signs, I got a few couple of weird days ago, if you get the signs, there was an article in there which is so beautiful. The nurse was going on duty, and a colleague was coming off duty, and the colleague was saying to her, "Just received a new patient. Good luck. You need it." So she walked into the room and she saw this person who looked every inch a derelict. Matted hair, a mess. Sitting there in the room looking out the window, hardly communicating, just a grub. And so she tried to do get the particulars, but there was not much communication happening. And then the GP, the doctor on duty, came in. And as she looked, she saw that the fellow had some recognition of the doctor. As if, well, he couldn't have known him, surely. And then after they walked out, she said to the doctor, "Does he know you?" He said, yeah, he knows me. We were in medical school together. He's a doctor. 12 months ago, his family got killed in a smash. And he just fell apart. Now, I can get him to help. How often we judge by outward appearance, don't we? We all need a Saviour. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. Romans 6. Come with me there. Romans 6. Yes, we have all sinned. And in Romans 6, 23, it goes one step further. For it says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, the wages of sin is death. There is a price to pay if we are not willing to come and to repent, if we are not willing to come and to admit that we need help. We all need a Saviour. We all need a Saviour and friend. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Come with me there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And here in this verse, there is a verse I want to draw your attention to. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, where it says, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." The key word is what? Meekness. Meekness. Meekness to admit that we are wrong. Meekness to admit, hey, I need a Saviour. It takes meekness to do that. Because we all by nature like to think, I'm okay. Don't we? I'm okay. The problem's with someone else, not with me. It takes meekness. And it also takes meekness to be effective in showing someone else that they need help too. Understanding and appreciating that we are all sinners together. And we need to remember also that meekness is not weakness. There is a difference. It is said that Moses was the meekest person that ever lived. But you wouldn't say that Moses was weak. A person who could lead an army, a general who could lead an army, a person who could build cities, a person who could leave 1 million people out of Egypt, he couldn't be doing that if he was weak. Romans 2. Come with me there. Romans 2. Romans 2. Romans 2. Here is another simple thought that is captured in this verse. Romans 2 verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." The goodness of God. Goodness of God. Have you ever considered for a moment the goodness of God and what he has done for you? The goodness of God that he gives to you another day of life. The goodness of God that he gives you food to eat, somewhere to sleep. The goodness of God that he's allowed us to be in a country where you have reasonable freedom. We see these, but other people are going through in other countries. It's not much fun. I'm sure it wouldn't be much fun at all. But we live in a beautiful place with freedom. God's good, isn't he? The goodness of God to give us freedom. Don't take it for granted. And yet there's something else we need to remember too. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Come with me there. Ephesians chapter 1. Another good reason to repent. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." Here is a good reason to repent. Jesus is the one who has redeemed us. Jesus is the one who has paid the price with his blood. Not yours, his own. With his blood our sins are washed away. By his blood we are cleansed. By his blood we today have got hope. And it is all done according to the riches of what? His grace. What a beautiful Saviour. What a beautiful Saviour to give us so much hope. Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, verse 12, but by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, here the point is brought home. We like to think, sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking that we can add to the equation of our salvation. We can't. Jesus paid it all. But what he demands from us is love. That we love him, that obey him. But understanding and appreciating that the sacrifice was paid by him, not us. What the sacrifices all did, the whole sacrificial system that was brought into place, was that it was all pointing to what would be the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus dying for us. And sadly, they lost sight of that. We need to be careful that we don't fall into that same trap. Jesus paid it all. He paid the price. Hebrews 9 again. Because Jesus paid it all. Verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that was under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. It's all through Jesus. He is our high priest. Through him, we have got hope. Through him. Repent. Yes. John the Baptist's call for us to repent is a very valid call. We have a good reason to repent. Yet only through Jesus we've got hope. Only through Jesus can we have redemption. Only through him do we have hope. But there was the other half of John's message. The other half of the message was, prepare ye the way of the Lord to make your path straight. Why is this so important? What is the purpose of putting our lives in order? Where do we fit into the picture? Matthew 24. Come here. Come with me there, please. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In verse 44 we are told, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Here we are told to be ready, and friends, we do need to be ready. I remembered a story of an old minister in England, something dozen years ago. He must have been an interesting character. Because every now and again he would get up around about midnight And he would go to one of the homes of his parishioners, bang on the door, and when they would come to the door, he would say, "Now, what if I was deaf?" That'd be a cheery thing to be told when you're woken up at midnight. What if I was deaf? But friends, what if death did come to your door at midnight? Would you be ready? Would you be ready? Would you be ready? If Jesus were to come to your door tonight, if Jesus was to come today, if Jesus were to return today in the clouds of glory, would you be ready to meet him? Or would you be telling him to please, Lord, come back next week? Not quite ready. Next week will do. Please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Come with me there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 6 we are told, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober." Here we are told not to sleep. We need to be awake. So easy to sleep, isn't it? To fall into a sense of false security, to think that you'll be fine. You'll be fine. We can all fall into that trap. But it's a trap that can come with a price, and the price can be hot, can be very high. Matthew 24, come with me there. Come with me back there again. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 42 and 43. "Watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Again, we are told to watch, and here the reason is given. Because the Lord will come when we least expect it. And you know, it is so true. We can know all the time charts. We can know all the prophecies. But really, I'll be ready. I'll be watching. Knowledge won't save you. But being ready and watching it and having Jesus in your heart make a big difference. There'll be I'm sure there'll be many knowledgeable saints burning in hell because they didn't take the time to know Jesus, to know about him. And that's a sad reality. Do we know Jesus? Do we know him? Have we made him a part of our lives? Revelation 3. Come with me there. Because here there is a warning for all. John is telling us to repent. He tells us to be ready. And here in Revelation 3 there is a warning for all. Revelation 3 verse 3. "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." You know, the message is straight. If you are not watching, if you are not ready, I will come to you as a thief in the night. Do not think that you can determine when Jesus will come, because you can't. Jesus said himself, only the Father knows when that happens. Only the Father knows. Don't try figuring it out. Just be ready. Just have Jesus in your heart. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter gives a very strong message here. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know, here Peter is giving the message that the day of the Lord will not just be a picnic for all to attend. For those who are not ready, there will be a big price to pay. And the price will be high. There's no second chance on the day of the Lord. Are we ready? Have we chosen to follow Jesus? Do we have our house in order? Have we made him Lord of our lives? Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Let's go back to where we began. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, to make his path straight. You know the message of John. It is still real. We do need to be ready to meet Jesus. We need to get our houses in order. And just as Jesus came the first time, so he will also come the second time. But we need to be ready to meet with him. And may we all be ready. Is my prayer. What a beautiful words, Lord, we've just sung. What a wonderful friend we have in Jesus. He is more than life to each of us. And we pray, dear Lord, that when Jesus comes, that we will be watching, that we will be ready. And then what a wonderful thing it will be to go home and to experience those wonderful things which you have prepared for those who are faithful. May we be among that number is our prayer today. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen.